Good morning. Please turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 139. If you're using the Bibles in the seats, it's page 662. And as you're finding that, let me just mention I preached from this psalm last week at my daughter's wedding. I was particularly considering how they, as a couple, might be imitators of God as dearly loved children in their marriage. But today I want us to consider what the psalm tells us about us and about God and his interaction with us. Search me can be kind of a smart aleck response of someone who's hiding something and they hope you don't find it out. As we'll see, that's pretty silly when considering hiding something from God. Instead, let me encourage you to delight in these six ways and more in which God searches you. Hear now the word of God, Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways, even before a word is on my tongue. Behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night. Even the darkness is not dark to you, for night is bright as the day. For darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as of yet there were none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they're more than the sand. I awake, and I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. O men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do not I hate those who hate you, O Lord, and do not I loathe those who rise up against you. I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there is any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. O Lord God, lead us now in the everlasting way by your word and your spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Six ways that this psalm reveals how God searches you. First, in verses 1 to 4, God sees you. God is all-seeing and all-knowing. He knows everything about you. He knows what you're going to do before you do it. He knows what you're going to say before you say it. He knows what you're going to look at before you look at it. He knows what you're going to think before you think it. We've read or heard or perhaps even experienced that awkward time when someone's private information is revealed. Maybe it's photos or a conversation being made public, or maybe you hit reply all on an email when you were speaking ungraciously about one of the all in the reply. It can be embarrassing at least. It can bring about trouble, can get people fired or even arrested. And maybe when you hear of such things, you see of such things, you just say, well, my life's an open book, as it should be. And yet there are things that we would hide from others. There are things that we would, if possible, even hide from God. But we can't. God sees you, and it's a grace that we can't hide. So rejoice and live openly before God's sight. Second way in which God searches you from the text here in verses 5 to 6 is God encircles you. Some translations like the ESV and the Psalter translate that, hem me in. The word is an interesting word. It's often a very aggressive word as it's used in the Scripture. It can mean to besiege or to assault. But it can be more neutral, just a hemming in, even as you would do in a garment. I like the way it's translated in the Christian Standard Bible. It says, you have encircled me. And I think it captures accurately the positive way that the psalmist is using it in this circumstance. This wondrous knowledge, this extraordinary knowledge, the psalmist is not resisting against God's encircling, against God's hemming him in. He's rejoicing in it, as must we. God is all around us. He encircles us. He surrounds us with his love, with his protection, with his direction. And sometimes that means he doesn't let us go the way we want to go, for our own good and for his glory. I preached, as some of you know, recently through the book of Philippians. And there was a church in Philippi because God, by his Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of Jesus, would not let Paul and his companions go to Asia or go to Bithynia. And so when that call came from Macedonia, they went and God opened the heart of Lydia and others, the jailer, to receive the gospel. And God established a church because he had hemmed Paul in and wouldn't let him go where he had planned to go. My eldest sister has five children. Two of the five were boys who had a degenerative disease. Took their lives at about age 20 for both of them. One of the dangerous side effects of this disease is, in addition to the intellectual and the physical degeneration, one of the particular physical degenerations was that these children with this disease lose their gag reflex. And so they swallow things or try to swallow things that you and I would never, because no matter how big your mouth is, you know it wouldn't fit. And sometimes these can be dangerous things, and sometimes it can cause them to choke. And so my sister and brother-in-law and their daughter, who was in between these two boys, had to watch them all the time, had to encircle them, had to hem them in. But you know, you can't always be with a child. And so they had a safe room in their house. Not a safe room like you escape from the bad guys in the movies, but a sitting room with two doors so they could approach it from various parts of the house, half doors with locks that the boys couldn't open. And if you didn't know and understand, you'd think, what a mean place to put those boys. It was bare. There was a leather or leather-like couch that would be hard for them to tear and get into the cushions and try to eat them. And there was a television up high on the wall. That was it. But it was a place where they could encircle these boys when they couldn't for an hour or two physically hem them in. And it was a place they made and put them. And the boys loved being there because they loved them. God encircles you. So rejoice in God's boundaries. Thirdly, from our text, how does God search you? He attends you in verses 7 to 12. God is everywhere present. He attends to you wherever you are or wherever you go, in heaven or in the grave, in the far east or the far west, whether dark or light, God is there. For about 10 years, I thought verse 9 was talking about Australia. My Kiwi friend said it was New Zealand, but I learned it's actually the Republic of Kiribati, a tiny country of several atolls that sits in the northern hemisphere and the southern hemisphere and the eastern hemisphere and the western hemisphere. It's the only country that is in all four, and it's where morning starts. The inhabitants of Kiribati start the day. And if you were to start the day with the inhabitants of Kiribati and travel all the way west in the world until you got back to the far distant islands, the Aleutian Islands of Alaska, that western archipelago of Alaska, God is there. But of course, this psalm is talking about far more than boundaries and countries and time zones. It's talking about the comprehensiveness of the presence of God. And that is either a great comfort or a great terror. Pastor and former professor, now retired from both, Denny Pruto, wrote a little gospel tract, You Cannot Escape from God. And then he wrote an evangelism book based on this tract as a church-based way to do evangelism. The bad news is that you can't escape from God. The good news is that you don't have to, because Christ has met the qualifications that you couldn't meet, and you can receive his righteousness and his salvation by faith. God attends you, so take comfort in his always and everywhere presence. Fourthly, from our text here, how is it that God searches you? God relates to you. It's really emphasized in verse 17, but it's all throughout the psalm. God is a personal God. The psalmist delights in God's personal relationship with him. You can't help but notice the you and the me relationship expressed all throughout the psalm. You see me. You know me. You encircle me. You love me. You care for me. You are with me always. Your very thoughts are precious to me. And sometimes the expression, a personal relationship with God or a personal relationship with Jesus Christ or with God through Jesus Christ, it gets some negative words these days. And I understand some of that. We can try to diminish us and God to just me and my buddy. And I think some who are concerned about that expression being overused are concerned that we might diminish the glory of God, or that we might not magnify the greatness of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that God, in his interaction with us, our union with God is far more than a personal relationship, but it's not less. God stooped from heaven and lifted me and set me on the rock. And this personal relationship is all because of God's stooping low to me. And this relationship is summarized in the language of the scripture of covenant. You are mine, and I am yours. You are mine, and I am yours. God is relating. So relate back to God. Love him. Worship him. Those of us who are in the Reformed and Presbyterian circles often emphasize, and I think emphasize well, it's important, the second commandment. That is the sense of how is it that we're to worship God. But never emphasize the second commandment of how we are to worship God, as important as that is, over the first commandment. Who is it that we worship? We worship God. Let's never forget that we worship God. Worship him, love him, adore him. He said to you through Christ, you are mine and I am yours. And so as you're studying here at RPTS, don't merely study academically to know stuff, even good stuff, but study devotionally to know God, the one who relates to you. Fifthly, ways that God searches you from the text here in verses 13 to 16, God created you. God, of course, created everything out of nothing by his powerful word and all in 6 days. And God didn't technically create you or me out of nothing, but he could have. He doesn't need anything to create anything. He created each one of us, the language that's used here of creating us, putting us together in the secret place. Josh Nye, our building guy, sent me a photo on the Lord's Day of a cupcake that had a secret place. And he had cut open that cupcake to reveal the secret place and reveal the gender of the little baby that God is creating in the secret place for Josh and his wife, Rachel. And I'm not going to tell you any more about that cupcake. God created you. So praise him for how wonderfully he made you. The sixth way that this text tells us how God searches us is in verses 19 to 24. God is holy. God is completely holy. His hatred is always a holy hatred. His anger is always a holy anger. His judgment is always a holy judgment. His searching is always a holy searching, but yours is not always. You are not completely holy, yet you're called to be holy, as your Father in heaven is holy. Left to yourself, there's grievous ways in you. Left to yourselves, you're not holy. And so at the last phrase of this psalm, lead me in the everlasting way, what it hints at, you know more fully and you rejoice in from the fuller revelation of the Bible, and that is that you are holy. That you have a holiness that is yours, not by your effort, but by your faith in the Holy One, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Lord Jesus Christ. So in Him, you are holy. And in Him, you are made more and more willing to live out in His holiness worked out in your life. So be holy as your Father in heaven is holy. And if Christians are to be fighting, let it not be anything but them fighting together against the enemies of God. But even then, be holy. Even then, ask God to search you and know you and try you and know your thoughts and see if there's grievous way in you and lead you in the everlasting way. Search me. God is. Delight in these six ways and more in which God is searching you, and ask Him to continue to be seeing, encircling, attending, relating, creating, and holy. Search. Search me. Search me, O God. Pray with me. God, you see our secret thoughts. And even as we want to say, God, search me, you know, and we know, that there are things we don't want you to search. But keep changing us to want you to search us, God. Keep changing us to delight in the fact that you are searching us. Keep knowing us, God, and keep making us holy in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in His name. Amen. Let's sing as we close from the last portion of Psalm 139. We'll use the D selection. We'll stand together and sing praise to God. Psalm 139, D.